celebrating on Saturday nights. And it was pretty exciting, and they made it that way. And really, if we look at the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, he always wanted us to have a great time in him. Amen? A shaking time, a praising time, because he's created everything. Really, he's created everything, and he's got everything under control. Even if you're out of control, he has it under control, amen? And he knows your thoughts, he knows everything that you're needing, and even what you're wanting. He knows the very hairs on your head. He doesn't have a hard time counting on mine. But praise the Lord, he's a good God, and he loves us, and he loves us individually. I just want to say that God himself knows your situation, and he knows my situation, and your situation, the same God knows your situation as my situation. So it's not if you're preaching a message or something like that. God knows who you are. And in that God, the same God, can do great and wonderful things in your personal life because he's a personal Savior. Amen. He saved us. He redeemed us. He brought us out of darkness into his great light. Now, our deal is over there in Matthew where it starts talking about that they sat in darkness. We have to make a decision that we will not sit any longer in darkness because there is a great light. All right? And so we have to ask ourselves sometimes, maybe in this enlightened age, are we sitting in darkness because of whatever reason? And if there's a reason that we're sitting in darkness, the Bible tells us to arise and to shine, for thy light has come, and the glory, I said the glory of God has risen upon you. And so it's an action word that we have to arise, and that's all he told us to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You made it to church this morning at 25 below zero. That could be a sacrifice. But the fact is, obedience is better than sacrifice. And I'm not saying, well, I could say the Bible does tell us to meet together and that we would gather together and assemble together, because in assembling together, we find out what the whole is. A bicycle not put together will not get you far as riding on the bicycle, but you have to come together and you have to assemble. And Jesus is assembling the body of Christ in 2016 like he's, I mean, this thing is happening. This thing is winding up. This thing is probably the most, if prophets of old that wrote the Bible, if they could be here for this time, they'd be doing cartwheels in the sanctuary. But it's a serious, joyful time of serving the Lord. But there's an excitement in the spirit realm, and I just see it in every aspect that people are just saying, hey, you know what? Something's going on. Something's happening. And so I've been thinking a few thoughts about seasons, and we're in a season here called the Christmas season. All right. In many churches it would be called Advent. And Advent would be 4 weeks before. And I kind of like the word Advent. It means coming. And so there's an Advent coming, which would be, as far as we're concerned, is we're coming to a day that we celebrate the birth of Christ. Okay? And so Advent, really, Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian, circles, Methodist, many circles, they start early talking about the coming of Christmas, the coming of this great phenomena called the birth of Christ. And they start early, and sometimes what happens, we can fall into religious traditions. Anyone ever did that besides yourself? You could fall into it, and you just go through the motions, but God's not dead. And he's surely alive. And I find out when I celebrate different things, it's usually a year after year deal. And Christmas is like that, right? I mean, Christmas is a little bit like that. So Advent is an event that is coming 4 Sundays before the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. In other words, a birthday party. And you can feel people say, get into the Christmas spirit. Well, that's really what the Advent is all about. They're taking Christmas and saying that day that Christ, now whether it was in March and or whether it was in December, the celebration is about the birth of Christ, the birth of the one that was going to save the world from their sins. Amen? And so whether it be December or March or whatever, we celebrate it, and we have even 4 Sundays before that, we're supposed to be getting pumped up. But you know what? In the commercial world that we live in, our pumped up time is from Halloween, and they almost skip Thanksgiving, and then they get into the Advent, and then that goes. But at least stop, slow down, think about what God did in sending His Son to planet Earth. Amen. I mean, something great happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus came to earth. Something great happened. And it's for every man, woman, and child on the earth. You can go to Russia and you can preach the same message. Hey, guess what? Jesus Christ saves. Do you know that you can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Do you understand that the blessings of God are upon your life? You can do it in Russia, China, Africa, United States, South America, Central America, Canada, wherever you're at, you can preach the same message. It's a message of redemption, saved by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? But of course, in the early stage, you have to realize that the birth of Christ had to happen, right? Because if we didn't have the birth, we wouldn't have had the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, all right? So as we would celebrate your birthday, you know, and I insist on at least going a week. When my kids have a birthday, I usually start going, happy birthday. Well, my birthday isn't today. No, but I'm trying to stretch it out to remind me what a blessing you really are. Hallelujah. So we take a look at it. The 1 year, you get the 1 year child. Of course, the birth is real important. The kid doesn't really know what's going on. But you get the 1 year child, and usually they're in the high chair, and it's their first real messy face up. Or is that 2 years? No, I think it's about 1 year. And they got their ice cream all smattered all over their face. That's the 1 year stage. Are we having fun yet? And so we have that 1 year stage, and we don't celebrate the 1 year stage every 1 year and the same year and the same year. We have a progression. It's going on. The child will be 2 years old, and then there's a different party. They might even have some friends come over then. And then 3 years. And so it's a progression of the child growing in strength, growing in ability, growing in mindset. And so we celebrate them where they're at. And I just think about the word Advent means the coming or visitation to earth. There's a visitation that God's visiting us when we celebrate His birthday, because He's not dead, He's alive. And so as we go to the third year, the fourth year, the fifth year, the sixth year, that child is growing, waxing strong, becoming more intelligent, learning many more things, considering things about school. And then they get to be in when Jesus was 12 years old, you remember that He had so much wisdom and understanding about kingdom principles that it baffled and confounded the religious leaders. These leaders knew their stuff. Some of them had memorized the whole Bible. Wow. And here Jesus, a 12-year-old boy, came and began to tell the religious leaders things that were just blowing their minds. It was cool. Mary and Joseph was not so happy about it because they had kind of misplaced their son. They went back to Jerusalem and they picked up Jesus in the temple. And they were a little upset, but He said, well, didn't you know that I would be in my Father's house? And so that was about the last time we heard about Jesus, from 12 years old into 15 years old into 20 years old. They didn't give it. I'm sure there could have been a couple more Bibles written if you would have had just that life. But he had submitted to his father, his mother. He was born of a woman, and he went about doing what guys and gals do. And so his dad was a carpenter, and he worked in a carpenter shop. Okay, he probably didn't start working in the carpenter shop until he was 14 or 15 or 16, and they didn't give you all those years. He was 20 years old. Usually what we would say, this is my most important time. I'm going to school. I'm a sophomore in college. So we're doing all that stuff. If we would write a book, we'd probably write a lot of things from 18 to 22. But we don't hear anything about Jesus, except we knew that he was waxing strong and becoming a powerful man in God, just like John the Baptist. And there was a waxing strong. There was something that was going on. There was a stirring on the inside of them that they were world changers. And so here we are. We start taking a look at Jesus when he became 30. He come into that age, and in the Jewish thought, that is the time of manhood that you usually take up the profession that you're going, and you work for all your life in that profession. But Jesus, he did take up his profession. He was the Son of God. And I'm sure on his 30th birthday, they celebrated his 30th birthday like they celebrated his 29th birthday. But it was in progression, not standing back and always going to the manger and saying, Jesus, you're in the manger, we love you so much. That's really not Advent. We know that he was born, just like I was born. Thank God that mom and dad didn't take me back to the hospital in Ada, Minnesota, and celebrated where I was born in the crib. You know, I mean, sometimes in Christianity, we get this idea that we always have to go back and celebrate something that happened. Of course, there was some great things to celebrate about the birth of Christ. The miracle-working power that happened, the visions, the dreams, the angels coming and singing about Jesus, that's pretty cool. You could talk about that for about 100 years and still feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit on it. But you see, Jesus, he was sent here for a reason, amen? And I think all of us have been sent here for a reason. If you live until 100, I think that God's wanting all of us empty of ourselves, but everything that he placed in us, he wants us empty when we return to him in heaven. Amen? He doesn't want us full. Well, you know, I studied all this and I studied all that, and you didn't tell anyone anything, but you studied a lot. And I'm sure he'd say, oh, son, oh, daughter, where have you been? And, you know, just like in the natural things, we don't consider Jesus was a natural man. He was born of a woman. And his anointing was not, his anointing was magic from heaven. It wasn't that he was the Son of God, so he had all of the power and authority to do all of it. He had the anointing. The very anointing that we can carry in ourselves, he had it, and it said that he had it to the fullness. You know, I like that. When you get filled, amen? All right, you guys are real exciting today. Hallelujah. We are Christians and have another season of events called Lent. Do you remember Lent? That's, you know, three months down the line, they have Lent, and that's 40 days after Ash Wednesday. They have the 40-day Lent period up to Easter. Okay, so here we go again. Okay, now, Jesus was about 33 years old. I'm sure he had a birthday that year, right? I mean, I'm sure he had a birthday. I'm sure they probably celebrated at that time. Jesus, wow, Jesus, you're 30, you're 31, you're 32, you're 33. Didn't change that they wouldn't celebrate something and his birth. And of course, we should do the same thing. We should celebrate each other that we have another year that good things have happened to us in that year, that's fine. But he had another appointment and that arranges actually our year. We're not so big on Advent, not so big on Lent, but the fact is it's a preparation for the time that something was an event that was going to happen in that time. And it was the death, burial, and resurrection. Now the baby Jesus in the manger, that wasn't too bad. You know, that's kind of nice and peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Wow, we're having a good time. That's good. But you know what? When we celebrate this other event called the burial or the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, it puts on some new meaning because it's progressive in nature. He's progressing in nature. Things are changing in the realm of the Spirit. When Jesus was born, do you know how many prophetic things were fulfilled in that birth? Throughout the Old Testament, God was taking all the prophetic right up into that birthday about the angels and about the events that were about to happen. And the shepherds that were in the field by night, it was a prophetic event that was happening and pretty exciting when the angels start singing. I'm a real believer if it could happen one time, if it's first mentioned, it can happen again. Wouldn't it be something you take a little bit of walk at night and ask the Lord, why don't you send a little, you know, a choir of angels? You think that he'd do something like that? Oh, no, he would never do that in our dispensation of time. Yes, he could. And then you'd come to church and you'd be, oh, what happened? Well, the angels were singing in the sky. And everyone would be looking. Say what? Where? How? Because we're a society that has kind of commercialized everything or brought everything down to something that isn't growing, something that isn't alive, something that isn't viable to what God is really doing on the earth. I believe from 33, his death, burial, and resurrection, that he had a 34th time of celebration of his birthday. He certainly hit. Now he's resurrected. Wouldn't we celebrate are resurrected? You know, I have several sons, son-in-law, and my son or my nephew and my daughter-in-law. Their birthdays are in December, and so when Storm was 5 years old, I celebrated his birthday. You know, you got him. I remember that little bike that we bought him, and it was a kind of a good time at five. But then he turned six. And he turned seven. Now he's 15. And I went and watched a basketball game. And I watched his first basketball games. And I watched the basketball game he played yesterday. And it's mind-boggling the way the guy is waxing strong. He didn't stay 6 years old. He didn't stay Jesus in a manger. He didn't stay there and said, let's go back there and celebrate it. We can celebrate all of the things surrounding that, but let's go on. And Jesus told the disciples, told Peter in particular, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, you savor the things of this world. And you know, that's really kind of sometimes we get caught in savoring things of this world. This world is changing. This world is going to really change. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And when Jesus comes back, because he's coming, Advent, he's coming. Go ahead and turn to the person next to you. He's coming. He's coming. Now, as a believer, that is the most exciting thing that we could say. Jesus is coming back for his church. He came the first time for his church to save us out of our sin situation, but he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's got the iron out. I had some mean wrinkles in my pants this morning. Thank God for my wife. It's my 45th wedding anniversary today. I like it. I got something to celebrate. Now, it's not my first anniversary. That was a little shaky. Fifth one was really shaky. But like they say, I've been married for 45 years, happily married for 10, you know, something out of that order. My wife is not here. I will pay for that. I know she has informants in here. All right. But no, Now let's see, how am I going to do this? Oh, yeah. This is my thought. I would marry her today, even just like the first day that I married her. Make sure you tell her that. Hallelujah. So we celebrate a birthday with our family, and they're growing, and they're coming into their own, so to speak. Jesus came into his own. Even with Peter didn't mean anything. He wasn't mean. He wasn't trying to be, like Jesus, we're not going to let anything happen to you. Jesus said, I know my destiny. I have to get there. This is my place of fulfillment. And he fulfilled it, and then he is the resurrected. He's not dead. On Friday was a little sad for the disciples. I mean, they all fled and they run every which way but loose. And then they got over there and then he's buried. Oh, man, now what do we do now? But then on this Sunday, he's coming. On this Sunday, he's coming back. On this Sunday, he's visiting his church. On his Sunday, he's coming to his people. Just like you're so important to him, he's coming to speak to you today. Now, I believe that in the years ahead, he's coming. He's coming. And prophetically, you'd say, well, does that happen to all of us? Well, I don't know. It should, because the anointing breaks the yoke, and the same anointing that Jesus walked in, we have in us. And what I do with that anointing is up to me. If there's something on the inside of you that needs healing, the same Jesus that I use for healing, you have for healing. Amen?
That's right.
And so your confession can say, I don't believe in healing. No problem. He won't do anything that you're not believing in. Amen? Because that's one criteria that we have to do, is we have to believe. I believe, Jesus, that you can heal me. Now, you don't have to say it to everyone else. If you believe it, say it to him. Amen? I always suggest, if you're going to pray a lot, carry a diary. And what you pray, write it down and see how many prayers that he answers. You know what? I find out that we pray most earnestly when something is going bad in our lives. We pray like, wow! But in that usually, that big incident usually happens and you get a healing. You get a miracle and you go, wow, God did it. Do you know that he wants to do that every day for us? Because he's an everyday God. And his birthday we celebrate. Yes, he was birthed back there. But he's about 2,000 years old now, and I'm still celebrating his birthday. I'm still celebrating the King of all glory. He came and he paid a price. God sent the most important thing that he could to earth to pay the price. And so when I celebrate him now, he's still alive. He's not dead. He's resurrected. Hallelujah. And so this one scripture right here in Isaiah 9:6, it says, for unto us a child is born. Okay? Absolutely, a child was born. But then it goes on, unto us a son is given. Do you know the wise men on the day that Jesus was born? It was shepherds that were tending their sheep by night, but the wise men didn't come the next day. That was about an event 2 years later. And that the wise men, they come following, and they were looking for the star, and they were looking for Jesus, and they found Jesus at his home. And they gave him, of course, we get the Christmas story. But life goes on. Life progresses. The spirit progresses. The prophetic words began to come true. We go on with the scriptures. It said, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. What government? Well, I don't remember reading that in the Bible. But it says that the government will be upon his shoulders. Jesus is carrying a government of the kingdom of God upon his shoulders. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And he's carrying a government on his shoulders. We have a king in government. We're going to have a president going into office and one leaving. But this government is established in Jesus Christ. And those that believe in that government, it's upon his shoulders. And then I guess maybe he's a pretty good leader too. It says, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do you see the prophetic realm coming forth? Hallelujah. He, 2,000 years ago, his birth date, his resurrection date went right off into forever. And we're living in forever right now. Hallelujah. And it just continues to go on. And the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. We're walking in kingdom days. The kingdom of God is at hand. We're walking in the kingdom of God with a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. That's a good deal. And because he's coming, he's coming. When he came into my life, nearly Super Bowl Sunday, 1979, came into my life, he was coming. He was coming for me, or I was running to him. I don't know, one way or another, I grabbed a hold of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's a prophetic utterance that's going on in 2016. Now, if you went and read all the prophetic books about end time prophecy, those end time prophecies are coming. And Jesus, he's nearly 2,000 years old, but the prophetic words that he has spoken, they're coming. And the proclamation in Isaiah 9, 6, guess what? It's being fulfilled right in the midst of his people. And so when we look at Advent, we're saying he's coming. He's coming. Jesus is coming. Wow. What next, what prophetic thing that's going to be lined up? How about Russia and China and all these governments that's going on? If you got into end time thoughts of the kingdoms that are raising up and going down, they're all there because Jesus is coming. And yes, he was born nearly 2,000 years ago in a stable, but he's not coming back as a baby in a manger. He's not coming back as a man that died on a cross. He's coming back as the resurrected one with all power, all authority in heaven and in earth. And you're his sons and daughters. That's so cool. He has never cast you off and said, no, you're not my son, you're not my daughter. No, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. Just in this thought, in finishing up, it said in Revelations 19, 11, and I saw heaven opening, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as the flame of fire, and on the head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Wow. He's coming. He's coming. We haven't seen that event, but it's coming. And he's very much involved in that event. Amen. And in the events of your life, he's coming. And we take this time, and it's a preparation time. You know, I like the Christmas season. And I like to slow down, put on the brakes, and said, okay, Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. And you can go through your redemption work that has happened and all the good things that's happened. But you know what? He was on the cross, which he is not on the cross anymore. He is the King, and he is the glorious one of all heaven and all earth. How does Jesus talk to us? You know, that was kind of a question today in praise and worship. How does he talk to us? Through a child? Through a guitar? Through a song? Through the reading of the Bible? Many ways. Prophetic words of the prophet. Dreams. Visions. Yeah. How does he speak to us? That's really the question, saying, God, speak to me. Yes. When I go to bed tonight, Lord, speak to me. I had the weirdest dream this week. I was in a chocolate factory, there was a chocolate factory, And I could not, you know, this is kind of crazy because I don't usually tell my crazy dreams. But this was a crazy dream. Sometimes I thought I ate something like, you know, what did I eat tonight? But this dream was everything needed to be dipped in chocolate. And I still haven't figured out what that's all about. And, you know, I probably shouldn't tell anyone, but maybe you can tell me something about it. And so then I got up, I woke up, okay, everything in chocolate. I'm going chocolate. Chocolate. I even looked up chocolate. Maybe there was investments to make in chocolate, you know, that I could get in on a good deal, get a chocolate investment. I've been into chocolate that way a little bit. But I thought about it, and then I'm going, so then I go back to bed again, and guess what? I dreamed the same, similar dream that everything needed to be dipped in chocolate. That's the tough part about these Pentecostal churches. You never know what they'll come up with. And it might not have meant anything, but it could have meant something, and maybe sometime down the line, I'll find out about it. I know God spoke to me 30 years ago about my destiny in where I was going to be and what I was going to be doing, and I would have said, that's impossible. But then the days of fulfillment comes, and you're going, wow, God, I remember the prophetic word that you gave me way back when. Don't take my chocolate story too far, unless you like chocolate during Christmas or something. But you know what? God knows what's going on, and you have a destiny, and he's coming in your life. And if you will give him yourself, just say, hey, God, here I am, he'll start speaking to you about your destiny. Because your destiny and his destiny is pretty much wound up in the same thing. He calls it the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty much wrapped up. He's coming back for me. No, he's coming back for his church. And it's a many-membered body. It's got purpose. Lorna, I just want to say the purpose that you have. You brought those daughters and these young people. It's your purpose. It's your destiny in life. And Jesus is coming into that situation to begin to help you even gather. I see you gathering 10 kids here in the next 6 months. You say, well, you're just trying to get me to gather. No, I really believe that God has placed a gathering on you, that you would gather kids and children that have been castaways, and you'd bring them, and you'll be a mother. You'll be a mother to them like they've never had, because you're fulfilling your destiny. And in destiny, that's what God does. Mary fulfilled her destiny. Joseph fulfilled his destiny. John the Baptist fulfilled his destiny. What is your destiny? You know, they've thought that you're a pretty crazy guy. And you've even thought you're a pretty crazy guy. But you know, the fact is, you know, I don't know, even a little bit crazy. To the world, you should be completely crazy. And I'm not talking about being foolish. I'm just talking about, I believe God. I believe his word. And I'm going to step out and I'm going to see the results of his word. When we start doing that, then the light will begin to shine. And people will arise out of their darkness. Because if they don't have any reason to arise, they'll sit in darkness. They'll sit in dark churches. They'll sit in dark religious places. They'll sit in bar rooms. They'll sit in meth addicts, and they'll sit in all of those things because they don't see the purpose of arising and shining, because they haven't seen the light. And we are the light of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm excited about it. I got a call from Steve Mianje from Africa the other day. And, you know, like we've been putting on in Central America, countries in Central America, we've been putting on conferences. And we call it the United Team International Conference, Central America. And we get all the countries in Central America, and they've been doing it. I've been, wow, God, that's pretty cool. Well, I called Steve the other day, and then he got back to me, and he said, let's do it in Africa. There's a lot more countries in Africa that we could bring them together, and we're better together. We can unite together. We have a destiny together. Jesus is coming upon his body today to gather, to do a mighty work. Could we do that? Hallelujah. If Steve believes it, I said, Steve, I am your servant. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it because I know I trust that brother with my life. Hallelujah. This Christmas season, I hope that you have the greatest, most peaceful, most fulfilling time in your entire life. This next week, if we didn't take Advent serious 3 weeks ago, but maybe this week we could really take it and say, God, you're coming. God, you're coming in every situation of my life. You're coming in my kids. You're coming in my wisdom is coming from above, and my knowledge will be able to carry it out because of your wisdom, God. Hallelujah. I believe, Lord, that you have, Danny, would you come? Would you stand right over here? I just believe that there's some people here that needs healing in their body, and we don't want you to leave, because the Bible says that we would lay hands on the sick and they would receive, and then they would get prayed for and they'd receive healing. I believe it in Jesus' name, or Danny wouldn't be standing up there. Amen. Hallelujah. Bethany, would you come? Would you stand right over here? Hallelujah. I just hear the love of the Father. Bethany's carrying the love of the Father. I've always thought Bethany was probably one of the biggest lovers of God. And so if you just need a touch from God, just the love of God, I just believe that Bethany, when she lays hands on you, there's going to be something powerful that is going to happen to you, because we're doing something in a biblical sense. You know, Jake lost his eyesight many years ago when he was first born. And he went through a lot of different things. In fact, they said he was dead. God resurrected him up. But he had many different things wrong with him. The only thing right now is his eyesight. And so Danny's going to pray for him, because we believe that God is a progressive God. He's not dead. He's alive. And that miracle can happen right now. Hallelujah. If there's any other spiritual needs that are needing to be met, that you don't know of, I'm going to be here, and you could come. And Webster, would you come and stand here? Webster is our newest addition to our pastoral, apostolic, whatever we want to call it. And this man is truly a great guy in the realm of the Spirit. We had a chance to ordain up in Bedette last week, and he was part of that. And so with that thought, we're going to dismiss. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his goodness find you this week. May he hunt you down. And may he give you everything that you need for fulfilling what you're. The same Jesus that lives in me is the same Jesus that lives in you. The Jesus that walked on the earth was filled with the anointing of healing, the very same anointing we can walk out. It was without measure on Jesus. Today, I want to keep on walking so I could say it's happening. Miracles were for people to say, wow, you know, they're not just hearing about the Bible, they're actually experiencing the Bible. So may the Lord bless you, and have a great, great next week. And we are having a service tonight at 7 o'clock. If you want to see the kids, they're